Sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. No short.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Today, the focus will be on the war in Syria, which I consider to be one of the so-called 9/11 wars. And to provide a little background information before we get into Syria, there are these two facts to consider. One, it's impossible to understand what's happening in the world if you don't understand the events of 9/11 and the fraudulent global war on terror. And two, you'll never get an understanding of 9/11 or the fraudulent global war on terror by listening to the so-called mainstream corporate media. So for those of you who may be new to this information, first you need to know about the Project for a New American Century, or PNAC, which was a neoconservative think tank that wrote a document in 2001 in which they call for huge increases in U.S. military spending in order to create U.S. full-spectrum dominance of the world. But they stipulated that the American people wouldn't buy into this increase in military spending without a, quote, new Pearl Harbor. Then in 2001, they got their new Pearl Harbor with 9/11. And if you've been listening to this show for a while and doing your own research, you know that we've been totally lied to by the government and corporate media about what really happened on 9/11. There's no evidence of Osama bin Laden or Al-Qaeda actually being involved in it. But there is well-documented evidence that the U.S. and its allies have created and funded the Mujahideen in Afghanistan that later became Al-Qaeda and now part of the terrorists trying to demolish Syria. They've also been in Libya and are now in Iraq, too. It's a brilliant strategy. You create a group of terrorists, mercenaries, really, and you move them to any country you want to overtake and destroy, and then you pretend that you're fighting them when you're secretly supporting them. So to get us started today, here's a clip which every American needs to hear of General Wesley Clark from 2007.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who used to work for me. And one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, No. He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq? Why?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "I guess they don't know what else to do." So I said, "Well, did they find some information connecting Saddam to Al-Qaeda?" He said, No. He says, "There's nothing new that way. They've just made the decision to go to war with Iraq." He said, "I guess it's like we don't know what to do about terrorists, but we've got a good military and we can take down governments." And he said, "I guess if the only tool you have is a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail." So I came back to see him a few weeks later, and by that time we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He reached over on his desk, he picked up a piece of paper. He said, "I just got this down from upstairs," meaning the Secretary of Defense's office, today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran."
I think that clip of General Wesley Clark speaks for itself. So now let's turn to independent Canadian journalist Eva Bartlett, who's been on the ground in Syria, and hear her as she speaks at a recent event at the UN about what's really going on in Syria. So here she is, Eva Bartlett.
Today in the General Assembly, the representative of my country, Canada, has raised a resolution which is not about human rights. It's not about the people of Syria. It's a resolution meant to point fingers and to vilify the governments of Syria and Russia. And this resolution relates to a UN Security Council resolution that was vetoed by Russia and China some days ago. That resolution pertained to another useless ceasefire in Syria, which would bring no good to the people of Syria, and which follows a week of liberation of areas of Aleppo, which now amounts to about 95% of areas of Aleppo that have been occupied for years by terrorist factions. So at this time, when 100,000 civilians in these areas occupied for years by terrorist factions have been liberated, parties in the UN wanted to impose another ceasefire. And I want to remind people why these ceasefires are indeed pointless. The last ceasefire in September was, from the very start, negated by 20 main terrorist factions who declared they were not going to participate, and from the very beginning violated the ceasefire over 300 times during the duration of the ceasefire. And not only these terrorist factions, while the Syrians and while the Russians adhered to the tenets of the ceasefire, but the American-led coalition itself violated the ceasefire by targeting Syrian army positions in Deir ez-Zor, killing at least 83 Syrian soldiers in a prolonged attack that lasted nearly 1 hour and which enabled ISIS to overtake that position. So this is one reason why a ceasefire is pointless at this point in time. There is no faith that any of the parties, that the U.S. and Western leaders who have funded these terrorists, there's no faith that they can actually control the terrorists and get them to adhere to a ceasefire. And the people of Aleppo want Aleppo to be completely freed. And I speak having been to Aleppo 4 times, and this is the will of people in Aleppo. So on that note, I'd just like to talk about briefly, I've been to Syria 6 times since 2014, 2 of which were with international delegations, and 4 times were independently on a visa I applied for, paid for, and waited for. My trips have been self-funded or fundraised, and I've gone at my own risk and been able to travel freely in the country to areas I wish to travel to. I've been many times to Homs, to Maalula, to Latakia, Tartus, Siaf, Sueda, and again Aleppo 4 times. And I mention these because I think it's important people realize wherever I've gone, I've spoken in Arabic to the people I'm speaking with. What Donna, what Sarah have said that the people support their army and government is absolutely true. Whatever you hear in the corporate media is the complete opposite. And on that note, what you hear in the corporate media, and I will name them, BBC, Guardian, New York Times, etc., on Aleppo is also opposite of reality. Aleppo since 2012 has been inhabited by different terrorist factions, among them al-Nusra, among them the so-called Free Syrian Army, which has committed the same heinous acts of terrorism as al-Nusra, as ISIS, as Ahrar al-Sham, as Nur al-Din al-Zinki, which beheaded a 12-year-old Palestinian child, and somehow is still deemed moderate. Since 2012, these areas of Aleppo, which have now recently been freed, their occupation by these terrorist factions has meant the greater Aleppo, the 1.5 million plus population of greater Aleppo, have suffered sieges denying them food and medicine. They've suffered for years a want of electricity and water, and they've suffered daily bombardment by these terrorists of mortars, of gas canister bombs, which are improvised and made locally, of water heater bombs, which are even more powerful and can level floors of entire buildings, of conventional weapons like Grad rockets supplied by the West, and etc. As I said, they've suffered these attacks on a daily basis, and even now, because there are still Western-backed terrorists in pockets of Aleppo, there are still mortars and gas canister bombs raining down, and people are still dying in Aleppo. This is another reason why the liberation and securing of these areas is imperative, because that will actually bring peace to Aleppo. Now, my colleagues here mentioned the nature of unity in Syria and the fact that Syrians see themselves first as Syrian before any sect. This is an important point because our media and the Gulf media has made Syria out to be sectarian, which is something the Syrians themselves have denied. But it's a tool to make people confused. It's a tool to make people believe that it's Sunnis against Bashar al-Assad, when in fact, bear in mind that Aleppo is overwhelmingly Sunni and is with the government and is with the army and is suffering from the terrorists who declare that they are liberating the city in Syria. Other points about Aleppo are hospitals in Aleppo have been attacked. I'm sure you've heard in the media that hospitals have been attacked. Well, this media is referring to the pockets of Aleppo that were occupied by terrorists. And they have manufactured stories, and I can give you a precise account. In April of this year, there was a hospital called the Al-Quds Hospital, which in a concerted effort, all media said was attacked and targeted and badly damaged by either the Syrians or the Russians. In fact, the Russians had satellite imagery showing that this hospital was in the same shape that it was in October 2015. No difference. Therefore, it was not attacked. Months later, The Guardian, which is a prominent British newspaper, actually said the Al-Quds Hospital that it had alleged months prior to be attacked and destroyed was treating victims of so-called chemical weapons attacks. So even the media that is lying is inconsistent in their lies. But there have been hospitals attacked. I went to the Al-Dabith Hospital, which is in Aleppo City. It's a maternity hospital. It was attacked on May 3rd, and three women were killed. You would think this would be something raised at the UN or by so-called human rights groups, but it was not. In December 2013, the Kindi Hospital was attacked and destroyed. It was the largest and best cancer treatment hospital in the Middle East. It was destroyed by Al-Nusra terrorist truck bombings. And in fact, in recent media reports on Aleppo, again alleging Syrian or Russian strikes on hospitals, Fox News actually had the audacity to use a photo of Al-Kindi Hospital and allege that this is in eastern areas of Aleppo and that this hospital had been attacked by Syrian or Russian strikes. This goes to show how much the media has been lying from the very beginning about Syria and continues to lie. When I went to Aleppo, I spoke with the Aleppo Medical Association. They comprise 4,160 active and registered doctors. More lies in the media have said the last doctor in Aleppo, the last pediatrician in Aleppo. Of these over 4,000 doctors, 800 of them are specialists. So you can see that when the media talks about Aleppo, it's talking about areas that were occupied by terrorists. And it's completely negating the suffering and the will of the Syrian people in Greater Aleppo. When I was in Aleppo in July, I got a taste of some of the bombings by these terrorist factions. There was an explosion about half a kilometer away at Hatat Baghdad, and I don't know how many people were killed that day, but it was close enough that it was a massive plume of smoke. About 5 minutes later, an explosive bullet fired from an area occupied by terrorists landed about 15 meters away from where I was. If it had hit parked cars, I wouldn't be here speaking. A day later, a good friend of mine, his mother, was killed by one such explosive bullet. So this is just a small taste of what people are suffering on a daily basis. In November, when I was there with a delegation of Western journalists, including from the New York Times, LA Times, BBC, etc., on November 3rd, there were a series of attacks throughout the day with Grad missiles, explosive vehicles, and other explosive bullets and snipings. By the end of the day, 18 people, civilians, were murdered and over 200 were injured, including critically. We were at the Al-Razi Hospital, which is one of the main hospitals, and we saw the maimed people pour in. And this was just one day of many of endless days in Aleppo. On November 4th, we were at the Castello Road humanitarian crossing. This was a day that was meant to allow the people in eastern areas of Aleppo that were inhabited by terrorists to evacuate. And this was not the first time. On prior occasions, the Syrians and the Russians had opened 8 humanitarian corridors to enable people to leave. These were attacked by terrorist factions heavily. Even that day on November 4th, the Castello Road crossing was attacked twice with mortar shelling when we were there and 5 times afterwards. Clearly, there has been political will and intent by the Syrian government and its Russian allies to enable civilians to leave, to minimize any sort of loss of human life. Clearly, the terrorists that declare themselves liberators of Syria do not want people to leave. They've been holding civilians hostage. And if you're following reports that are not BBC and that are not New York Times, you will see countless testimonies of civilians, of the 100,000 civilians who've been liberated the last week, saying, thank God for the Syrian Arab army that liberated us. And the terrorists were hoarding food. They were preventing us from having food. This is all documented. Also documented are that areas occupied by terrorists, including a school, were housing chemicals used to make chemical weapons. And you could see also the gas canisters that were used to make explosive gas canister bombs. In fact, even when I was in Leiramun, we saw a factory in one of the buildings that was used to make gas canister bombs. In Leiramun, we also saw evidence of the so-called Free Syrian Army that some people say doesn't exist anymore. The 16th Brigades was active there. They had a cell underground, 3 stories below, that was perfectly intact in spite of aerial bombings above ground. And I make this point because people talk about the destruction in Aleppo as if the physical destruction matters. It's the people that the Syrian government and the Syrian people care about. And the destruction in areas occupied by terrorists occurs because the terrorists are bunkering below ground, come up above ground, fire their bombs on civilian populations, and go back below ground. So I just want to address a few other myths. Some of the myths that have been about Aleppo and Syria in general have been that the Syrian government and army are starving the population. Again, I refer to testimonies of people, even people I met with in November. I met with a family of displaced people from Al-Halaq, which is north of Bustan al-Pasha, which was an area, both areas occupied by terrorists. At that time, when I met them on November 10th, he told me that they had fled along with about 40 others about 20 days prior, and that They had tried twice prior to flee, but they were prevented violently so from doing so by the terrorists that inhabited those areas. This is the case. These are the testimonies coming out of Aleppo now. People saying, we tried to flee, they wouldn't let us, they shot at us. There are also videos showing people who did manage to flee coming under fire and the Syrian army actually protecting them, acting as human shields. So that's to say that what we've been hearing in the corporate media is not depicting an accurate image of what's happening in Aleppo. The corporate media is saying that the Syrian army is attacking people, and until today, the corporate media is maintaining this, even though the exact opposite is true. I would ask you to follow the voices of people in Syria who, like my colleagues here said, they want you to speak the truth. They're tired of lies. They're very well aware of the lies that our media is purporting and that our human rights groups are purporting. They want an end to the violence. They don't want this war to continue. They didn't ask for this war. But as my colleagues stressed, Syria is a sovereign nation. It has the right to fight against terrorism. And we know that 101 of 193 UN member states have sent terrorists to Syria to slaughter and destroy. So Syria is fighting a war against terrorism. It's winning in Aleppo. And hopefully either the terrorists will accept a deal to be transported out of Aleppo. Hopefully they will participate in the Musalaha, the reconciliation, will lay down their arms, will take the amnesty offered to them by the government and which has been taken by thousands of former militants. And hopefully, above all, the U.S. will stop supporting terrorism and stop funding terrorism. And hopefully this new bill will take fire, will be supported, and actually it will be impossible to fund and arm mercenaries from FSA, Ahrar al-Sham, Nuruddin Azinki, and all the colors in between, because they're all the same terrorists.
And now here's a question from a Norwegian journalist who apparently works for the corporate media.
Thank you very much. I'm Christopher Ronneberg with the Norwegian newspaper Aftenposten. A question for, or two questions for Ms. Bartlett here. As a journalist, I'm sure you can appreciate getting other impressions than empirical impressions from the ground. When you talk about the Syrian people and what the Syrian people want, how can you quantify that? Do you have any independent surveys where you can actually document that? And secondly, you talk about the corporate media, the Western media, the lies and all of this. Could you explain what you think might be the agenda from us in the Western media and why we should lie, why the international organizations on the ground should lie, why we shouldn't believe all these absolutely documentable facts that we see from the ground, these hospitals being bombed, these civilians who are talking about the atrocities that they have been experiencing? How can you justify calling all of us liars?
Sure. I mean, there are certainly honest journalists amongst the very compromised establishment media. Let's start with your second question. So, international organizations on the ground. Tell me which ones are on the ground in Eastern Aleppo. Yeah, okay, I'll tell you, there are none. There are none. These organizations are relying on the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which is based in Coventry, UK, and which is one man. They're relying on compromised groups like the White Helmets, which let's talk about the White Helmets. The White Helmets were founded in 2013 by a British ex-military officer. They have been funded to the tune of $100 million by the US, UK, and Europe and other states. They purport to be rescuing civilians in Eastern Aleppo and Idlib, yet no one in Eastern Aleppo has heard of them. And I say no one, bearing in mind that now 95% of these areas of Eastern Aleppo are liberated. The White Helmets purport to be neutral, yet they can be found carrying guns and standing in the dead bodies of Syrian soldiers. And their video footage actually contains children that have been recycled in different reports. So you can find a girl named Aya who turns up in a report in month, say, August, and she turns up in the next month in two different locations. So they are not credible. The SOHR is not credible. Unnamed activists are not credible. Once or twice, maybe, but every time, not credible. So your sources on the ground, you don't have them. As for your agenda, not your, but the agenda of some corporate media, it is the agenda of regime change. How can the New York Times, I was reading it this morning, or how can Democracy Now!, which I was reading the other day, maintain until this day that this is a civil war in Syria? How can they maintain until this day that the protests were unarmed and nonviolent until, say, 2012? That is absolutely not true. How can they maintain that the Syrian government is attacking civilians in Aleppo when every person that's coming out of these areas occupied by terrorists is saying the opposite? So that's with regards to your question on lying Western media. How do I quantify the support of the Syrian people? The elections. In 2014, the Syrian people held elections. The voter turnout was 88%, including people in Lebanon, where I was during the elections in Lebanon, which actually ran for 2 days, extended hours, people walking for kilometers to reach the embassy, including people who flew from their own countries like mine, which has criminally shut the Syrian embassy so that Syrian people have no rights, and including people within Syria who braved a torrent of terrorist mortars and missiles on election day. And yet, voter turnout rate was something like 88%, I believe.
She was told here by a fellow panel member that voter turnout in Syria was 74%, with 88% of the voters supporting President Assad.
Anyway, the point being, overwhelmingly, the people support President Assad. That's based on elections, based on my own travels. Okay, so that's subjective, but as I said, I've traveled around Syria, talked with people of all faiths, all walks of life, and there are people that want change in the government. We're not pretending they don't want change. Everybody wants change. But in terms of support of the government, the point is they don't see President Assad as the problem. They see the problem as terrorism. They see elements of problems in the system that they have there, but President Assad, they don't see as the problem. They actually overwhelmingly support him. So I'm basing it on their choice in their leader, and I'm basing it on my interactions with people in Syria and Lebanon.
And now we'll hear from another independent journalist who spoke at the same recent UN event and who has also spent time in Syria. Here she is, Vanessa Beasley.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Vanessa Beasley, investigative, independent journalist and photographer, recently returned from a four-week trip to Syria, 1 week with the United States Peace Council delegation, and then 3 weeks as an independent journalist inside Syria, working for some of that time with Ava Bartlett. I think the main point that I want to make this evening is to reinforce the fact that from everything that I saw inside Syria, this is not a civil war. This is not a conflict between Syrians. This is a dirty war that is being waged against Syria by the United States, by the EU, by the Gulf states, and by Israel, and by Turkey, who of course is facilitating the entry of the majority of the weapons and the militant factions and the terrorist factions such as Nusra and ISIS into Syria. I think what we're seeing currently with Aleppo in particular is a lifting or a breaking through of the mainstream media firewall that has ensured that we only receive a very filtered version of events in Aleppo. And this, for me, is actually a microcosm of the mainstream media reporting on all of Syria. What I think we need to remind ourselves of, who are the forces behind our corporate media, the NATO-aligned media, who are ensuring that their narrative runs in lockstep with NATO state agendas and objectives in the region. Of course, the investors in these media moguls and mainstream media outlets are the corporatocracy, the ruling elite, and of course the military-industrial complex, who are heavily invested into the media organizations. And so we should not really be surprised that their agenda is certainly to maintain perpetual conflict inside Syria. But if we go back to Aleppo, what we see here, in my opinion, is that Aleppo is a microcosm of how the whole conflict against or inside Syria is being portrayed both by our mainstream media and by our governments and by our NGOs, our so-called humanitarian, often state-sponsored, foundation-sponsored NGOs such as Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International. We see basically the ignoring of the majority voice, the 1.5 million civilians in West Aleppo, in an Aleppo, in a city that has been partitioned by the invasion of NATO state and Gulf state funded militia and armed militants into East Aleppo, where they have imprisoned and held hostage probably around 250,000 civilians. The majority of whom have been held hostage, they have been imprisoned, they have been starved, deprived of the humanitarian supplies that are being allowed to enter East Aleppo by the Syrian government and its allies. And the media and our governments have amplified the voices of what are effectively externally implanted militant factions in East Aleppo as being the voice of Aleppo, completely ignoring the 75%, the 1.5 million civilians in West Aleppo who are opposed to NATO intervention in Syria and who stand behind their elected Syrian government, state, and Syrian army. Even if they are actually opposed to the Syrian government, they still unite behind it as the unifying factor in Syria at the moment, resisting an illegal NATO proxy military intervention. These people are dehumanized. They're described as Assad loyalists, whereas in fact this is a complete fabrication. It's a lie. Many of those people in West Aleppo do not necessarily support President Assad. However, what they do believe is that reforms, any sort of changes, any development, any evolution within the country should be pushed forward and driven by peaceful means. They don't believe in killing their country in order to improve it. So this marginalization, eradication of the majority voice in Aleppo is then being irradiated out throughout the rest of Syria. And in fact, our mainstream media is completely ignoring the voice of the majority of Syrians who stand behind their elected government, the Syrian state, and the Syrian National Army and its allies in cleansing Syria of this infestation of militant factions that are not Syrian. The majority now that are fighting inside Syria that are armed and funded by our governments are foreign mercenaries. They are not Syrians. The most important point, I think, to make, one is that we need to resist any further escalation of violence or military intervention inside Syria, particularly the no-fly zone that we know harbors threats of an escalation of war with Russia, between Russia and the United States on Syrian soil, but also to battle against the illegal and crippling economic sanctions that amount to economic terrorism on behalf of our governments. They are not punishing anybody except collectively punishing the Syrian people for standing behind their nation in resisting intervention by our governments. I had the privilege to meet with an opposition member. She's an independent deputy. She was elected to the Syrian parliament in 2012, Maria Sada. She's a Syrian citizen, she's a woman, and she's a Christian. And in her address to the UN in June 2016, she made the very clear case for the fact that US and EU sanctions are effectively economic terrorism and are having as devastating an effect as the armed and military terrorism that is being inflicted or imposed upon the Syrian people. And I would like to just put across the points that she made, because I think rather than hearing my voice, it's important to hear the voices of the Syrian people, and particularly of the representatives of the Syrian people, the internal unarmed opposition, not the external armed opposition, that are demanding the intervention of completely despotic monarchies such as Qatar and Saudi Arabia in order to impose an Islamist government that is not wanted by anybody in Syria. Syria is all Syrian people, all factions, all sects, all areas of society want to remain living in a secular state. They do not want some sort of extremist Islamic state imposed upon them. So I will leave you with Maria Sada's words to the UN. We, the Syrian people, do not want any state to speak in our name. We have the right to decide and choose our destiny. The opposition is a legal structure inside the parliament and not outside the country related to foreign agendas. We want to start reform by involving all Syrians working together in partnership with the institutions of the state and not by killing each other. Democracy means a certain level of political culture. It is not something that should be created by war. The existence of state is our existence. So we are all responsible for saving our state.
On December 17th, Vanessa Beasley co-authored a report out of Syria, and part of it reads like this, quote, Thanks to information received, Syrian authorities discovered the headquarters of high-ranking Western NATO officers in the basement of an area in East Aleppo and have captured them alive. The nationalities are U.S., French, British, German, Israeli, Turkish, Saudi, Moroccan, Qatari, etc. I'll leave you to ponder that. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.